Hebrews chapter 7 this morning, if you turn there with me, Hebrews the 7th chapter, Hebrews chapter 7, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your promises and your plans. Your promises are yes and amen in Christ. And long before the law, long before the new covenant, you had a plan to redeem mankind. You had a plan, Lord, and you exercise that plan whenever you chose to. And Lord, this revelation on Melchizedek, God, may we just receive that this morning. Lord, it's such a nugget in your word. And if we don't pay attention to it, we could pass it over, and it means so much to you, Father, because you set forth your plan. So very importantly, through this obscure text in Genesis and Psalms and Hebrews, Father. But Lord, it was a key to what you plan to do with us. And we thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. So here we have the writer of Hebrews almost goes into another mode, but he's really continuing on talking about the great thing that God did. And he makes mention of someone that Abraham ran into on his way back from victory in war. He ran into king of Salem and priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek. He was a man that received blessings and from Abraham, but he was called king and priest. It was unheard of in Israel. You were either a king or a priest, not both. As a matter of fact, in history, when a king tried to be a priest, he paid the price, his own life. And so here Melchizedek shows up, and Abraham gave a tenth of all the spoils that he had just got from war, gave it to Melchizedek. Priests came from the tribe of Levi, and this before the law was the foretelling of Christ's superiority. How was that? Let's look at Melchizedek. In Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18 says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God the Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. You'll notice that he called him by his name Abram before he was called Abraham, the father of many nations. And he gave him a tithe of all. All we really know of this Melchizedek was what was said here. And then in Psalm 110 verse 4, it says, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, talking about our Lord. And then in Hebrews chapter 5, it's mentioned, he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, quoting Psalm 110. And then in verse 10 of Hebrews 5, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And then again in Hebrews 6:20, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And so this Melchizedek was before the law was ever thought about, and the writer of Hebrews begins to explain this, that Melchizedek and Abraham, Melchizedek was of the priesthood of Christ. Christ descended from or came from the tribe of Judah and came from a place where it was unheard of to have a priest. All priests were Levites. And Jesus came from the tribe of Judah and descended from what's called Melchizedek. Now, I did a lot of research on this Melchizedek. I believe he was a precursor of Christ. I believe he was Christ's theophany, is what it's called. Many believe he was not. It was just a king, having no heritage, having no father or mother, what that meant. A lot of writers say that meant that they didn't take the time to say where he came from and where he was going. I believe it was the theophany. I believe it was Christ that was appearing before Abraham. And I'll get into that the next time we talk. But more importantly, I wanted to talk about Melchizedek was of the priesthood of Christ and Abraham was the priesthood of Aaron. Abraham begat Aaron, and the priest were in Abraham when he tithed to Melchizedek, and Christ was in Melchizedek. Very important. A priest, not only a priest temporarily, but the Bible says that Melchizedek, Jesus was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. No beginning and no end. He was perfected forever. But then the scripture says, consider the man. Now consider, verse 4, how great this man was to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi who received the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Verse 7 says, now behold, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal man received tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Tremendous, tremendous insight into God's eternal redemptive plan long before the law was ever spoke on Mount Sinai. Here we have Abraham, the father of faith, the one to whom God gives the glory. The faith that Abraham had was reckoned to him as righteousness. Israel held Abraham in the highest esteem. And Aaron, who came from Abraham's loins, represented God and his worship. The law was given from heaven, but could never get us to heaven. The law can never get us to heaven. Anybody? Come on, someone. You awake this morning? The law was a wonderful thing, but the law can never get us to heaven. Matter of fact, the law frustrates. Grace gets us to heaven. It's the grace of God that gets us to heaven. Christ represents that grace. Christ is the grace of God. Melchizedek is superior, and we're going to talk about it in the next couple of weeks, but he was more than Abraham. Verses 4 to 10 speaks to that, and we're going to get into that. Then the next time we meet, more than Aaron, verses 11 through 14, and more than the law. The writer of Hebrews tears apart all the concept of saying that we would give any glory to the law. The law was a wonderful thing, but the law was just a tutor, a tool to bring us to the ultimate place of Christ. We need to be very important when we're talking to people about being saved. The only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. It's not obeying the Ten Commandments. Come on, someone. And matter of fact, no one can obey the Ten Commandments without Christ. With Christ, we do. It's in Christ that we obey. Everybody with me, may the Lord give you understanding. Because we get caught up, if I may chase a rabbit, it's a good rabbit though. We get caught up in following all the commands and all the steps. Jesus has already done that. Resting in Christ is the secret to a victorious life. Let me say it again. Resting in Jesus Christ is a secret to a victorious life. So here we see Abraham gives tithes to Melchizedek. And then Melchizedek blesses Abraham. He said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies from your hand. Priests received tithes from Israel, their brethren. 11 tribes gave to the one, the Levitical priesthood. All men born in that tribe served the tabernacle or temple in some capacity. Everyone born of the tribe of Levi, every man somehow, somewhere served in the temple or tabernacle. over in the New Testament, we get a picture of that, and we find Zacharias, who came on the day, the only day that he was picked to come, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Zacharias, you're going to have a son, and his name's going to be John, and he's going to be the foregoer of Jesus Christ. All men were in the loins of Abraham 430 years before the law was given at Mount Sinai, when Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils to Melchizedek. All of the Levitical tribe was there in Abraham when that happened. And there was a purpose for that. We're going to see that in just a minute. I'm going to draw a linear line for you. I hope that will give you great joy. A stranger then received tithes from the father of Israel. Men who die, the Levites, receive tithes from their brethren. He who has no end, Melchizedek, had no beginning and no end, received tithes from Abraham. In Abraham's loins dwelt the future Aaronic priesthood. And Abraham bowed before, he was representing all of the priesthood for the next 430 years. The future priesthood pays tithes to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek turns and blesses Abraham. Abraham was blessed already by God in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. God blessed Abraham, but Abraham receives blessing from Melchizedek because he realizes, maybe unbeknownst to him, why he's doing it, but he bows and gives tithe to Melchizedek, the father of nations, tithing to and giving to Melchizedek. Now let's fast forward just for a little bit. Let's leave there just for a little bit to Son of God and Son of Man. John the Baptist was born a Levite. He had every right, every positional right to be a Levitical priest. Zacharias was a priest. He was the son of a priest. He could have been a priest. Everybody there? John the Baptist was a Levitical priest. But he eschewed all of that. History says that he went and lived among the Essenes. He was not an Essene, but he lived among the Essenes. Kind of like super Amish. Eschewed all comforts, all creature comforts. Got away from any political, any kind of government. They lived out in the wilderness. They worked the land. Many of them were vegetarians. Did not eat meat, did not do those kind of things. And John was of that group. He was not an Essene, but he lived among that. And he came upon it, honestly, because Zacharias, his father, did not live in the Levitical community. He lived out in the hills, in a village, away from Jerusalem. He was separate from all of that. And so, here's John the Baptist, and he's honored by all of Israel, because when he calls all of Israel, all of Judea, all of Jerusalem, come out to the waters to be baptized by John. How many know that was a God thing? They didn't have, 6 o'clock news saying there was baptism out in the Jordan. The word of mouth went out and people from everywhere came. It says, the scripture says, all of Judea, all of Jerusalem, all Israel came out to be baptized. So John the Baptist was honored by Israel, and he's baptizing everyone. He's preaching repentance. And then Jesus comes from the tribe of Judah. Now, if I were God, I mentioned this, I believe, last Wednesday night, but if I were God, I'd have had Jesus coming from the tribe of Levi. Wouldn't that make sense? Came from the tribe of Levi, and he could be a priest and that kind of thing. He came from the tribe of Judah, not from Levi. And the Levites, John the Baptist, was not a priest, and he's one that declared repentance for the nation of Israel. Kind of interesting. Much like Melchizedek and Abraham. Come on, someone. So here's John the Baptist declaring repentance. Jesus comes to be baptized by John. Jesus from Melchizedek is baptized by John, who represented Aaron, the priesthood. The law now announces the age of grace. Hallelujah. The exchange fulfills hundreds of years of the prophetic. As a matter of fact, when Jesus came, I don't have time to develop it today, but when Jesus came to John, John said, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, we're going to do this to fulfill the law. And I've often wondered about that, as you probably have. What does that mean to fulfill the law? What's baptizing the Son of God have to do with fulfilling the law? It fulfilled full circle what happened with Melchizedek and Abraham was now happening in the waters of Jordan between John and Jesus. For 430 years, the law would be that guided the people through the redemptive act of the different priest. And then the scripture says, because the priest has changed from Aaron to Melchizedek, there's a change in the law. And that change in the law is the grace of Almighty God. Jesus Christ represented the grace of God, and he said, let's do this to fulfill all of the law. Divinely ordained type and shadow that Melchizedek and Abraham was, long before the law, was to set a precedent that all of creation waited for the priest after the order of Melchizedek to come and give the grace that was needed. This reveals the superiority of Christ. We receive blessings from him, and he receives tithes from us. And I might do a little parenthesis here. If you love God and you're following God, you, every 10% of everything you have belongs to him. It's not a matter of giving. Come on, someone. It's not a matter of giving, it belongs to him. And if you're not giving what belongs to him, you're robbing him. There's a lot of argument about whether we tithe or whether we give. It's a New Testament concept, it's an Old Testament concept. Listen, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek before there was a law that says you have to tithe. And if we understand the grace of God, we understand that 10% is anathema. You don't touch it. It does not belong to you. You don't spend it on anything that you have. Come on, someone. Years ago, I had a friend that was a good friend. We did camp together and did church together. He was part of the church, and he was always running into problems. Just all, it seemed like every time he turned around, he would spend an extra money. And so I prayed for him all the time. And every year he would go to Florida with his family. He'd go to Florida, go to Disney, or go to one of the beaches and stuff. So after several years of praying for him, I said, you know, Jack, what's going on? And so we talked a long time, and I said, what about tithing? And he says, what I do is take my 10% and put it in the bank. And then every year I take my family on vacation with the tithe. And I said, well, Jack, there's your problem. You're robbing God. Boy, he got mad at me. Got angry. What do you mean I'm robbing God? I said, because that 10% doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God, and you're taking it. He said, well, I get fed from my family. I said, no, you don't get fed from your family. You get fed from God. Come on, someone. Your family's getting fed from God. Sadly, today, I believe he's not serving God. Not sure, but I don't think he is. He's divorced from his wife, and his family's been estranged probably for the last 12 or 13 years. So parenthetical, if you would, please. We need to understand, if you're not doing that, you need to do that. Don't be a thief. That 10% belongs to the Lord. Very simple. There's no law about it. It's just, well, it is a law, but it's a law from heaven. Come on. It's not a law from the law. It's a law from heaven that establishes it was there long before the law, and it carried over from Melchizedek to Christ. Christ said, you tithe of mint and cumin, and those things you should do. Come on, someone. Very important that we understand, and this is what the writer of Hebrews is trying to do. He's bringing the main point, as a matter of fact, in verse 1 of chapter 8, and we'll get there, but he says, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. We need to understand that the law has been dealt with and taken care of and taken out of the way. We are not trying to prove anything to God. We're not trying to serve God till He looks at us and blesses us. We're blessed through what Christ already accomplished. We're blessed by what He has already accomplished. God even said to him in Psalm 110, verse 4, He says, "You sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. For you are an order, you're our priest in after the order of Melchizedek. Forever your throne is established." By the way, that forever is before time and after time. Christ's throne has already been, always been established, and it will be established forever. Turn to Numbers chapter 6. Just a neat little line I'll finish with today. I won't keep you long, about 5 more minutes here. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. Numbers 6:24. When you get there, smile. You're going to want to underline this. Let me just draw a another linear line from Old Testament to New Testament. How many know the Old Testament is there for example? But it also points to the New Covenant. All of it. Someone said the old and the new is revealed, the new and the old is concealed. Numbers 6:24, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." Just a little neat line. Bless you and keep you reflects the apostolic thing that God wants to do. The work of the apostle is very much alive today. There's a lot of argument about whether there's apostles. Yes, there is the apostolic, and I believe it's directly reflective of blessing us and keeping us. The apostle of our faith, of course, is Jesus Christ. Secondly, he says to make His face to shine upon you, and I believe that's the prophetic. We need the prophetic in this hour. It's wonderful there was so much prophetic today, and it was right in line with what God did the whole service. How many know? God encompasses His people with the prophetic. And we need to make time for the prophetic because I believe God wants to speak as much today as He always did. Someone said, "Will God stop talking after the end of the Bible?" I said, God is not a deaf mute. He hears and He speaks. He has every right to. Then it says to be gracious to you. And I believe the work of an evangelist, like the James and Amy's and the rest that are going out and evangelizing and talking, the grace of God through the work of the church. And in some degree, we're all called to be evangelists. Come on, look at somebody beside you and say, "Yep, that's you." See, we're all called in some extent to evangelize, but the work of the evangelist is in the church. And then number 4, lift up His countenance upon you. And I believe that's the work of the pastors in our midst. We're to reflect the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're to reflect that. We're to do the counseling and minister and do those kind of things. And then to give you peace. I believe teachers are called to give peace and to bring understanding to His Word. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that this Melchizedek in this Abraham thing. I challenge you over the next couple of weeks. Get in your Bible and study this. Do some cross-referencing. Get on Google it will lead you. There's a great little thing that I found, the Blue Letter Bible. How many know the Blue Letter Bible? Get on there. There's all kinds of concordances and things on there. It'll do cross-referencing for you. It really is for the lazy Christian. All you do is click and it'll give you all the scriptures that you used to have to look up. It's going to be right there on the screen with you. And so I challenge you over the next couple of weeks to study this Melchizedek and the line between Melchizedek and Jesus and Abraham and John the Baptist. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Amen. So Father, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You, God, for Melchizedek. I thank You for this priest and king that came to establish, even before the law was established, you made the law bow to the grace, knowing that it was just going to be used as a tutor to bring us back to grace, back to Jesus. Father, I thank you that the law is a tutor. I thank you that the law has been fulfilled in our great Savior and King Jesus, Prince of Peace. Father, we thank you for that. And I thank you for all that you're doing in our midst. Lord, I thank you that you're calling us. I thank you for James and Amy and the word that they brought us today. May the challenges in our heart take root and bring great fruit in our community. We thank you for where you've called us and for what time you've called us. And God, you've called us in your grace that we may walk in victory in all that we do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.